Cambridge Certificate of Proficiency in English Listening Test. Test 2. I am going to give you the instructions for this test. I shall introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Remember, while you are listening, write your answers on the question paper. You will have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now, because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1.
The received wisdom used to be that there were four tastes and that each was perceived at a specific location on the tongue. Sweet tastes at the tip, salty and then sour along the sides, and bitter at the back. This so-called tongue map was based on some rudimentary research originally done in 1901 and then later misinterpreted. But these assumptions went unchallenged for a staggering 73 years until a researcher called Virginia Collings proved that, in fact, every part of the tongue has receptors for every basic taste, including umami, a fifth taste which most Western scientists ignored until relatively recently. Why textbooks should persist in printing this so-called map is quite beyond me, frankly. It certainly baffled me back when I was a kid at school. I could never get the experiment right in science class, and I failed for insisting that I could taste sugar at the back of my mouth. Goes to show you shouldn't always take for granted what your textbook or your teachers tell you. In fact, the remarkable thing about our sense of taste is just how little is known about it. The received wisdom used to be that there were four tastes and that each was perceived at a specific location on the tongue. Sweet tastes at the tip, salty and then sour along the sides, and bitter at the back. This so-called tongue map was based on some rudimentary research originally done in 1901 and then later misinterpreted. But these assumptions went unchallenged for a staggering 73 years until a researcher called Virginia Collings proved that, in fact, every part of the tongue has receptors for every basic taste, including umami, a fifth taste which most Western scientists ignored until relatively recently. Why textbooks should persist in printing this so-called map is quite beyond me, frankly. It certainly baffled me back when I was a kid at school. I could never get the experiment right in science class, and I failed for insisting that I could taste sugar at the back of my mouth. Goes to show you shouldn't always take for granted what your textbook or your teachers tell you. In fact, the remarkable thing about our sense of taste is just how little is known about it.
Extract 2.
In some ways, I was fortunate to be born into a family business. When I was 14, I realised I wanted, like my parents, to work in hospitality, but also that I needed to do it in a way that felt right to me. My parents hoped I'd take over the family business as soon as possible, but I enrolled instead at a hotel management school, which led to jobs in Spain, Iran, and Korea. My parents and my bosses made plenty of suggestions. I always just pretended I was listening. But now I am chief executive of the family business. Striking the balance between respect for tradition and innovation is paramount. And I must admit, I've had some real issues with the human resources department. To me, many HR people set too much store by a resume. But a resume doesn't reflect who a person is, especially in the developing world. For our business to succeed, we've got to employ people who can use their initiative. I don't want the HR department to be frightened of people like that. In some ways, I was fortunate to be born into a family business. When I was 14, I realised I wanted, like my parents, to work in hospitality, but also that I needed to do it in a way that felt right to me. My parents hoped I'd take over the family business as soon as possible, but I enrolled instead at a hotel management school, which led to jobs in Spain, Iran, and Korea. My parents and my bosses made plenty of suggestions. I always just pretended I was listening. But now I am chief executive of the family business. Striking the balance between respect for tradition and innovation is paramount. And I must admit, I've had some real issues with the human resources department. To me, many HR people set too much store by a resume. But a resume doesn't reflect who a person is, especially in the developing world. For our business to succeed, we've got to employ people who can use their initiative. I don't want the HR department to be frightened of people like that.
Extract 3.
Hi, Martin. I've just been reading about power and influence as part of my course.
That sounds interesting. I've always thought that well-educated people must be able to exert power over others. Does your reading bear this out?
You might suppose that to be true, but apparently we're all really deferential towards the ones who are introduced to us as though they were some kind of authority. You know, she's head of corporate strategy. It's as though we assume their views are well-founded.
It's like a label which we read as, you can trust me, together with the fact that they're probably earning a fortune. We're like putty in their hands.
I was glad, though, to have it confirmed by research findings that gender no longer plays a part. At least not in most societies. Interestingly, the research also says that people who are seen as a lower social level aren't necessarily more easily influenced. As you'd imagine, it's more to do with self-esteem and our own feelings of worth.
Yes, I can see that.
Hi, Martin. I've just been reading about power and influence as part of my course.
That sounds interesting. I've always thought that well-educated people must be able to exert power over others. Does your reading bear this out?
You might suppose that to be true, but apparently we're all really deferential towards the ones who are introduced to us as though they were some kind of authority. You know, she's head of corporate strategy. It's as though we assume their views are well-founded.
It's like a label which we read as, you can trust me, together with the fact that they're probably earning a fortune. We're like putty in their hands.
I was glad, though, to have it confirmed by research findings that gender no longer plays a part, at least not in most societies. Interestingly, the research also says that people who are seen as a lower social level aren't necessarily more easily influenced. As you'd imagine, it's more to do with self-esteem and our own feelings of worth.
Yes, I can see that.
That is the end of part 1.